It's that time of the week. The Racing Postcast is here. Yes, your favourite weekly racing preview show here on the Race Post YouTube channel is here, and those listening on audio platforms as well. Welcome along for this week's bumper preview. We've got Newbury and Newmarket to look forward to. Newbury host their big Group 1 of the season, the Lock-in Stakes, on Saturday. Really looking forward to previewing that alongside my brilliant panel here, Keith Melrose and Liam Head from the Racing Post. And of course, from Unibet, back with us is Mr. Ed Nicholson after a break last week. Right, we've got plenty to get into, gents. So we're going to start off at Newbury, where the main action takes place on ITV. And the 125 is the Aston Park Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and a half. And we see the return of Cal Parner here, Colin Keane and Andrew Balding, currently the 6-5 on favourite with Unibet. Arabian Force for the Haggis team, 4-1. French Master is 5-1. West Wind Blows is 7-1, and Liberty Lane, the outside of the 5, at 10-1. Keith, come to you first. It's great to see Cal Parner back here, but she's taking on some solid horses who are all fairly race fit, so it could turn out to be a belter of a contest.
It could be, and I think with Cal Parner, she tends to come on for her first run as well, yeah. You know, and obviously there's bigger days in mind for her, so I think this is a day to maybe have a go at her, to be honest. I actually thought the outsider of the lot was really interesting, Liberty Lane. He, like Cal Parner, does take a run or two to get going, but he's had that run, you know. He went to France and he had a run in a listed race. Wasn't at his best, but that's what we expect from this horse now. You know, it's not that long ago he was given Githin, who's now got art quotes, he was giving him a bit of a hiding at Newmarket in the autumn there. And before that, he'd run with credit behind Damasus, who's favourite to win the lock-in this afternoon. Just a good mid to high 110s horse that has got a race behind him and is maybe going to be more about this race than some of the others. I just thought he was a bit of a silly price to be the outsider out here, it's sort of getting on for double figs. So yeah, I thought Liberty Lane here, it's definitely a day to get after Cal Parner, although I like her generally, and his price just stood out.
Yeah, I think Cal Parner, she's definitely the best horse in the race here, but I agree with you, Keith. Worth taking on. I actually am quite a big fan of Arabian Force in here. Liam, for the Haggis team, I think will come on for that run in France. We'll appreciate what should be better ground on Saturday. Who did you like?
Yeah, I do see your points about Cal Parner, but it wouldn't really worry me about her not having a run compared to some of her opposition. I mean, don't forget, this time last year, she was sent out in the Tattersall Gold Cup for the first time and was a close third in that race. So I do think she goes quite well fresh. And I mean, we've seen what she can do over this trip as well. You know, it's interesting because Connections did have the possibility of going for the Middleton over a mile and a quarter at York on Thursday, but they've opted for this. I think she goes better over this mile and a half. And it just looks a nice starting point for her. Yes, obviously she'll have bigger targets in mind, but she's proven, you know, on the big stage time and time again that she can do it. Obviously was unlucky to only win the once last year, but that did come in a Group 1 on Champions Day. And I just think she's the class horse in the race. So although she has obviously coming in sort of slightly behind the others in terms of preparation, I do think class will prevail in this one.
Okay, yeah, Liam with Cal Parner, Keith taking her on this occasion. Sir, I think we've already created the debate for the comments. Let us know down below, are you with Cal Parner or against her this weekend? Ed Nixon, let's hear your say.
Yeah, well, I wrote in my notes, might be the time to take her on at the price. So similar with Keith. I mean, she should win. If this was halfway through the season and she'd had a run, she would be odds on and she probably would win. So probably not going to have a bet in the race. I remember I was opposing Andrew Balding filly last time I was on the Postcast at Goodwood, you remember? And she won really easily and actually was massively well backed in the 24 hours before the race. So I think the market will be a guide to this. If she's 5-4 or bigger, I think that might mean that there is a lot of improvement to come for the run. But if she's odds on, then that would be, an indicator that she's ready to rumble. She improved 40 pounds as a three-year-old, and she's only won a couple of grade ones, which are the same grade ones, at the end of October, well, mid-October, at Ascot, that Fillies and Mares champion. So, you know, there is a long season to go. They won't have a Cherry Right first time. but she still might win. I mean, if I was to oppose her, the one I'd oppose her with would actually be West Wind Blows, who has a second's latest three runs, and one of those was to the world's highest rated horse. So if you're going on form, the Shima Classic second to Kalanagan, that probably sticks out on form. And if this one got an uncontested lead, maybe a slow pace and kind of just kept on ratcheting it up in the home straight, then you could see West Wind Blows might just have too much for a on debut Kalpana. But yeah, I think I'll leave this race for a bet, but hoping Kalpana wins. But the value is probably with West Wind Blows at the moment. But it's one to watch for the betting, I think, in the hours before the race.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. It really is. And like I say, down in the comments, do let us know your opinions. We love to hear from you on this show. Let's move on then, gents, to the 2 o'clock, which is the 10 furlong Chilbrickbury Stud Fillies Trial Stakes, a listed contest for the three-year-olds. And currently topping the market, the Royals Rafe and Rossa are teaming up here with Golden Orbit 6-4, Sacred Grounds 9-4, Esna 7-1, Allaire is 15-2, Lady Rocia is 8-1, and Fractional 14-1 in here. Liam, coming to you first, we've got an unbeaten horse here. Will she be unbeaten after this weekend, and may we see a Royal runner at Royal Ascot?
I mean, that would be obviously what a lot of racing fans would like. You know, it's always good to see the backing that this sport gets from the Royal family. It obviously comes into this unbeaten, as you mentioned, but I think Allaire at the prices can run a big race for the Baldings. I just think that she appears to. She's finished second on her two starts this in her career. But I think the first time she ran into I'm the One, who we seen what did at Newbury, and couldn't really get near the winner that day. But that horse is obviously an exciting one. Sort of one of the early season talking horses already, albeit not going to run in the Oaks. But and the second time she ran into Ed Walker's filly, Felicitas, who was second in the Masadora on Wednesday at York as well. So I do think the form is stacking quite nicely so early on into her career. And I just think she looks, this filly looks sort of really comfortable over this trip as well. So I think she can sort of run a big race. I'd be surprised. I think she's sort of 11-2, 13-2 at the moment on Thursday's we're recording, but I do think she'll come in for a bit of support before Saturday.
Okay, Allaire then for Liam Head. Keith, the interesting one here, but away from the favourite, is obviously Sacred Ground, who was actually well talked up on debut and didn't quite run to what the market was potentially expecting, but she's sure to improve for that. What did you expect to come from this race?
That's it. Sacred Ground, there was quite a lot expected of her at Newmarket, and she didn't come up to it. Well beaten second, you know, and horses that were just behind her that would have no right being short in the betting for this race. So, you know, she might come back and prove she's that level of horse, but for now I'm willing to sort of take that sort of watching brief, especially because I got the faint tring of the good horse alarm about Golden Orbit, to be honest. Okay. That was, the form hasn't worked out terribly well, and the overall time wasn't brilliant, but it was a fast finishing sectional, and Ross Orion just did not want to touch her on debut. He was teaching her all the way, and she's beaten an expensive Godolphin horse, just looked a bit good, and she's very much bred to be mile two, mile four horse this year, slow developing middle distance type, which is the sort of horse that when good horses win this race, that's the sort of horse they tend to be. You know, Nashua has done it, Sia Class, the horse that nearly won the Arc, she did it as well. They're the sort of horses that win this race. She's still in the Oaks, is Golden Orbit. I expect her more likely to run at the Royal Ascot or in the Irish Oaks, which she also has an entry for. But you know, the fact she's still in the Oaks says to me she'll be ready enough. The fact that she was able to do what she did over 7 furlongs on her debut, considering how stoutly bred she is, was really encouraging. Just might be a bit too good for them, I think. And the only horse that really does seem to have that short to medium term potential is Sacred Ground, who's already had a chance to do it and didn't. So I think the price is perfectly fair.
Yeah, I know, I can see it. And yeah, she's still in the Oaks, but you'd imagine that she'll end up at the Royal meeting, probably in the Ribblesdale, the most likely target with the Royals there to watch that one. Ed, you've got the final say on this one. Who'd you like?
Yeah, very little form to go on. Difficult to analyse it based upon that. So it is what your eye tells you, what the time tells you, what you know about the horse and how they think about them in the stable. So yeah, Gold Orbit could be anything. Sacred Ground, I wasn't that impressed with last time. I'm in agreement with Liam. I think Allaire is going to be a really nice filly. I really think she could be the one out of this race who's more likely to progress and throughout the season. I like her second at Newbury behind I'm the One, who won't be going to the Oaks and who the Gosdens are still talking up, even though other fillies have gone out and won for them since. So they obviously do think she's a very good filly, or potentially very good filly. And Allaire did finish a few lengths behind her, but I've watched the race three times this morning and Allaire still was very green, ran from the front. And jockey Ashi Murphy was very careful not to give her a hard race. When I'm the One loomed up and went two lengths clear, he just gave her a very, very small tap. What, you know, obviously wanted her to learn a lot and to enjoy it, which, you know, is paramount for any horse running in a race. But I think they obviously think this horse is quite decent. And I like the way that she ran on in the closing stages. Now, I'm the One, One might be exceptional, might not, but she beat the others quite well, I thought. And I thought was still very green. And we all know that Baldings always come on for a run for a season debut or their first ever racecourse appearance. So I was seeing 8-1 earlier on when I was looking at the markets. I thought that was a massive price, so I must admit. We don't know anything about the form, obviously. I'm the One came out of Chester, ran very green. Probably there wasn't something right about her on the day or during the race because she's not been herself since, mm-hmm. which is why they pulled her out of the Oak. So, you know, you can, you know, you leave that form. But just on reputation, given that this filly, I thought, ran a really reasonable race behind that one, I thought 8-1 was a better value alternative than the favourite at 6-4, to be honest. We're going super boost in this race.
Okay, super boost in this race here then for Unibet. And yeah, Allaire, the selection of Ed Nixon and Liam Head. And I can see it, 15-2 currently is the price at the time of recording with Unibet. So yeah, fair price in this race. Keith with Golden Orbit, who again could be absolutely anything and could be a bit of a superstar. So we'll have to wait and see. But a really exciting watching brief on Saturday. Right, let's move on to the feature then, gents. Is the Boyle Sports Lock-In Stakes, a Group 1 over a mile, coming at 2:35 on Saturday. And Damisus is the 5-2 favourite. Zeus Olympus is 3-1. Notable Speech, 7-2. The Lion in Winter, 11-2. More Thunder and Sarlan, the French Raiders, 10-1. Jonquil, 16-1. Cicero's Gift, 40s. Dancing Gemini, also 40s. And the Pacemaker, or what seems like the Pacemaker, it's time to start talking about them again, for Aidan O'Brien, the Ballydore team, is Mississippi River at 80-1. Keith, it's actually a really good looking race. I love the look of this. I mean, Damisus looked like an absolute monster when he came back. He looks like a horse that's improved plenty. Zeus Olympus obviously ran in that race at Sandown, and that looked like it was going to be a fairly good piece of form there. Notable Speech, he's going to want the ground as quick as he can. And the Lion in Winter, Aidan seems to think's come back to form, and they're going to be going over a mile with this horse for the rest of the season. How did you look at this?
It is a very competitive race. I think that speaks to the fact that the mile division isn't much good, to be honest. So we get competitive races. We don't get to see superstars. But that's good. We can have a little bet on it. Damasus deserves to be favourite on what he did last time. If you can believe that and take it as read, then he is a Group 1 miler, absolutely. The one that I've been tempted to back today, especially today, is the Lion in Winter, because I've got this faint sense that they are desperate to get a mile Group 1 into this horse, and they have got him fit specifically for the lock-in before everybody else is really rolling. You know, supplementing the Pacemaker, all that stuff, sticking the cheek pieces on, which they're loath to do normally. Getting that run into him, it's got all the hallmarks of, you know, the tipping team are starting to talk about day theory. You know, horses tend to perform their best when it's their day, when conditions are right, when they've been readied properly. Day is all about Lion in Winter in this race. I suspect it's been, if he doesn't win this or the Queen Anne, I think they'll be scratching their heads and wondering what they do. So they'll be having him hard fit. They've got a pacemaker in to make sure it's right for him. And yeah, no matter who's the best, that he's in the champion miler at the end of the year, I think this is the day where the Lion of Winter is, they're desperate to get that Group 1 into him.
100%. I had two horses noted down. It was the Lion in Winter and the horse that beat the Lion in the Winter in the Prix de Moulin last season, Sarlan, the French Raider. I think those two are the two that are going to go really well on Saturday. Liam, who for yourself?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Keith's saying in terms of, I think as soon as that supplementary entry of the O'Brien horse, I think as soon as that was declared, I just think everyone thinks, right, well, we know exactly what's going to happen here. It's that horse has been brought in to do a job. I hope it doesn't do the job that Kirat did last year, the ultimate pacemaker. I just think, yeah, he's obviously got good form, but I do think Zeus Olympus deserves another chance. Obviously, he was unbeaten last season for Carl Burke, who just seems to be having a fantastic start to the season. The Sandown run was okay, but I think he'll obviously come on a lot for that performance. I just think the rate at which he improved last season from each race just suggests that the ceiling's not even reached with this horse. And I just think he's got everything. Again, conditions will go in his favour, and I think he'll strip better for that performance from Sandown. So I think he's got a right chance, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went off favourite on the day itself. But it's an interesting race. You know, you can make a case for sort of four or five of them, really. I mean, the Godolphin horse, that everyone keeps alluding to the fact of the yard form at the moment, it's not great. Obviously, at the time of we're recording at the moment on Thursday, you know, Charlie Apple, he's had a couple of sort of short-priced favourites, and they've not even performed anywhere near to the levels we expect. So I just think Zeus Olympus deserves a crack at this, and this will have been a target from Sandown.
Okay, Zeus Olympus then for Liam Head. Ed Nixon, not much has been said about the favourite yet, Damisus, who's coming here age 4, because last season didn't do anything too spectacular as a three-year-old, but did look like a really, like I said during the market read, a really improved horse on seasonal reappearance at Newmarket last time out.
Yeah, it's a really intriguing race. I mean, Damisus came 18th in the Derby. Lion in Winter came 14th from the Derby.
Yeah.
And they're back it over here over a mile. Who would have thought that when they lined up for that race? And also, John Gosden has done particularly well in this race in recent years. He's won it 3 times in the last 5 years with horses that I wouldn't consider to be really top class Group 1 horses. Lead Artist was rated 117 when he won, Audience 114, and Palace Pier, who was probably top, rated 125 5 years ago. And let's not forget, this wasn't his number one contender for this race. It would have been Field of Gold. So he's a super sub, but what a super sub he is. I mean, having won the Earl of Sefton Stakes with that £3 penalty, I thought that was a dynamite performance. I really did. I also think 3-1 is fair value, or there or thereabouts, in this race. More to the reason for opposing the other horses that we've mentioned about. I don't know if the panel can name the last 2000 Guineas winner to race on as a five-year-old. My record goes back to 1946. I'll be happy if there's a horse in between, but I couldn't find one with Happy Night. I don't think of a five-year-old has carried on. And he obviously does love firm ground, but the Charlie Appleby form is absolutely incredibly bad. I mean, I went back in the records books since 2003 or something, 2000, and his longest losing run in any calendar year has been 26. He's on I think he's just beaten that now, Newmarket. So he's now on his longest losing run ever as a trainer. That's got to point to something, isn't it? I mean, that can't just be coincidence. Previous to that, I think his losing run was like 16. So it normally pinpoints his horse and they're running the good races, especially in May with the Newmarket meetings, and he's raring to go. So I think there's something not 100% right there. His RTF on the Racing Post is 47%, which again is very low for him. So Notable Speech would have been my selection. But I'm not going to go for him. I'm going to go for Damisus. And Aidan O'Brien, he doesn't normally send his major generals to this race. It's normally like his colonels, if I can use analogy of the army. I don't think the line in winter is going to be his top miler. And as Keith and Liam have both said, they are desperate to get a top, you know, a Group One victory into the horse. But the pace setter if he does go off quick, that's going to suit Damasus as well. So, you never know with the pacemaker. He might not even take up the role. But I thought Damasus was on what he showed last time with that 3 pound penalty, the way he quickened, he is coming back to a mile. He hasn't raced over as short as that distance since winning his novice at Southall on the all weather when going off at 8-11. So there is question marks about him as well. But I thought he was the most likely winner and with negatives for the others.
Wow.
And also, Sam, one other thing to say, Aidan O'Brien has run 20 horses in this race this century. He's only won it twice, once with Hawk Wing in 2003, and the other one was Rhododendron. So, you know, he finds it difficult to win this race.
Yeah, he does. He does indeed. But Damasus is the selection for Ed there. And yeah, if Mississippi River wins up, I'll be baffled because I backed this horse anti-post for the Lincoln about 3 months ago. So we now see him in a lockage. Right, let's move on then, gents, to the 3:10 at Newbury. This here is the Carnarvon Stakes, a listed contest. 6 furlongs for the three-year-olds. And the market currently looks like this. Royal Fixation 5-2, Albert Einstein. Here we go again. 11-4, Wise Approach 7-2, and then a big jump to 10-1 about Ardisia and Havana Hurricane, and then bigger the rest. Oh my goodness. Keith Melrose, Albert Einstein. As much as I find E equals MC squared complicated, I find this horse just as complicated. We're back sprinting now, and look, to be fair, look, he's unbeaten over this trip as a two-year-old. Do we think finally we will see the Albert Einstein that was hyped up in the Aidan O'Brien stable tour at the start of the season?
Does that horse exist?
What?
Like, you know, does I mean, to be fair, most of the time when O'Brien talks a horse up, they do eventually show it somehow some extent. But I'm not seeing much sign that he's that sort of horse here. I mean, it's not a particularly strong race. It's a listed race. It's maybe the second or third best Commonwealth Cup trial, which contextualises what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
With a horse that's got so much hype and so little achievement relative to that, you never want to back them. You always want to be going and try to take them on, I think. But it's a tough race to have a bet in, to be honest, because Royal Fixation, first you run for a new yard. A lot of them don't look good enough to me. I was faint. I think the balding horse, Ghost Mode, will end up quite good. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but he hangs left still. And I'm not 100% certain about whether he'll quite have this in him. If the Appleby Yard, we've already discussed the form they're in, if they weren't struggling, if they were in their usual sort of form, I'd be really quite strong on Wise Approach.
Yeah.
The fact he went off 2-1 for the Pavilion Stakes, or it might even be called officially the Commonwealth Cup trial now at Ascot, the fact he went off 2-1 as the Middle Park winner told you that maybe that wasn't him at full fitness. And he shaped like he wasn't fit. And he had to go around the whole field, but he was still travelled pretty well. Pretty encouraging reappearance, all told, and I would expect him to get back to mid-110s level this time off the back of it. Mm-hmm. Really is the one that jumps out at me, just with that little niggle about the stable form. But given he's third in the betting in this race, and he's possibly the best horse, in fact, very likely the best horse, mm-hmm. I think Wise Approach is the one I'll be having a little bit on. It'll just be a slightly less punchy stake because of the yard.
Very fair, very fair. It has been a worry, and I've seen it all over social media, people worrying about the Charlie Appy form at the moment. Liam, how did you look at this? You can't be with Albert Einstein, can you?
Yeah, no, not on this occasion, no. I can't. I mean, I know it's obviously an Aidan O'Brien horse, so it's probably that sort of factor as to why he's as short as he is. But I was at Newbury for his last run, and obviously there was a lot of hype up about him, whether he was sort of a sprinter or a sort of eventually a miler these days. I don't know, but it was his run was pretty sort of worrying that day. And he never looked like he was get going really. I mean, I can understand. I think the yard's obviously better doing this way, coming back in trip than going up in trip, because like you mentioned there before, he's unbeaten over this 6 furlong trip. So, it's probably the last roll of the dice at this trip, is it? Possibly before scratching your head and seeing what you do next. But I think Royal Fixation on what she showed last year, deserves to be right up there. Obviously, she's, you know, first run of the season for the new yard as well. But I think the levels of form that she showed last year for Ed Walker were really impressive. Really didn't put a foot wrong. You know, came within a neck in the Duke of Cambridge to Venetian Sun, then followed that up with by winning the Lowther. And then when she was into Group 1 company, she was a close third. So I think this looks like the nice starting point for her. And just, I think she can be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see her towards the top of the betting in the Commonwealth Cup if she was to go on and win this impressively. So, yeah, I'm definitely against Albert Einstein on this occasion.
Okay, yeah. Just think he's Albert Einstein. He's just going to be one of those horses that either wins really convincingly or just disappoints massively once again. Ed, final say.
Imagination is more important than knowledge. That is an Albert Einstein quote.
And you I think said Ed it last O'Brien, time, I think he ran.
Yeah, no, it was a different quote then. It was a different one. This, I mean, this is just, Aidan O'Brien definitely has to have a vivid imagination because he's got no knowledge that this horse is as good as he thinks it is. He hasn't done really anything on the race course to prove that, certainly this year. Although he has got a good record in this race compared to the lock-ins. He's had three runners in this race, I think, of late. Four attempts in total. And he came second and third in the last 3 years. So, you know, he has, let's hope that from the horse's point of view that he puts it in and we see the real Albert Einstein. But I can't be backing Wise Approach. Wise Approach actually is the second highest rated horse to have ever run in this race. Well, since 2000 anyway. Noble Star was rated 117. He's rated 115. And Royal Fixation, 111. That makes him the joint fifth highest horse, the joint fifth highest horse. And I think the more likely winner here is Royal Fixation. Carl Burke from Ed Walker, good form in the book. True Love, who won the Cheveley Park, obviously went and won the Guineas. If she has trained on, and I'm sitting here, you know, have no knowledge of what she even looks like as a three-year-old, but if she has trained on, then she would have the form and the potential to be a really progressive sprinter that would take in some of the Grade 1, Group 1 contests for the summer. So you'd expect her to run well in this Carnarvon Stakes and should be my selection. I'm opposing the Aidan O'Brien and certainly Charlie Appleby's until they show more form. So it's going to have to be Royal Fixation for me. The others are outclassed, I think. And this is another Super Boost race.
Ah, it's another Super Boost race. Again, head to Unibet for the terms and conditions there. But yeah, Liam and Ed with Royal Fixation and then a small stake based on the Charlie Appleby form for Keith on Wise Approach. Right, one more race and then we're going to fly through Newmarket, Jensen. It is the London Gold Cup Handicap, which is for the three-year-olds. 3.45 there at Newbury. And My Love is King is 3-1. Port of Spain, 9-2. Al Zed, I think that's how you say it. It's 5-1. Lost Boys also 5-1. Sahara King 7-1. 15-2 about Sintra. And then double figures bar these. Some of the recent winners this race are incredible. Sadad, King's Gambit, Israel, Baybridge, Defoe. It seems a race every year, Liam, where it's not worth just taking note of the winner, but also putting every horse that finishes in behind into a tracker. It has an unbelievable record. Is it going to be another decent renewal, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, you only have to look at sort of the horses that have won this. You know, Israel won it for the Gosdens, and I just think, you know, it's a race that sort of later in the season and the following season, it does sort of frank the form a little bit. So it's interesting to see, you know, it's going to be a competitive field again. I think the Gosdens do hold the key again with My Love is King. I think he's progressed nicely for them. I thought he made a very strong seasonal return when second behind Maltese Cross, who's obviously gone on and franked that form by, you know, looking like Britain's best Derby chance, really, yeah. Based on what he's shown for William Haggis. And I just think My Love is King, he performed better when second at Newmarket earlier this month. And I just think another good performance is with definitely in reach for him for a yard that just seems to be hitting all the right notes at the moment.
Yeah, they're not stopping, are they? They're not stopping the Gosden team. My Love is King, 3-1 for Liam Head. Keith Melrose, for you.
Yeah, it's another one of those races with loads of promising blue bloods, and you know any of them could go on and be the sort of group horse to come out of this year. So I've gone through a lot of the replays and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not necessarily sure it is, as you know, there's no obvious ones jumping out at me, but the one I think has been primed for this race and has loads of potential. I don't think this horse has had a race yet, if I'm honest. He's always been learning. It's Sahara King for the Hannans and for Richard Hannan. And just, yeah, he made his debut in the All Weather, came back here and finished within a length of Maltese Cross. Loads of well-connected horses in front of him. Yes, he was fifth. It's only beaten a length. And he came from further back than anything else that was in front of him, you know, in a race where they finished fast. So that was very promising and just for experience. And then at Newmarket last time, the winners won well, but had the run of it more than he did. And he's making money, ground at the finish again. So just a lot going right for him. He's not been missed with his mark of 95. That's fair enough. He probably needs to be just about listed class to win off that straight away. But he's got so much potential and has, you know, a bit of course form with that run behind Maltese Cross. Just think there's a lot going for him. And in a race that may not be the strongest new London Gold Cup of all time, I think this horse with listed potential is the one off 95.
Okay, Sahara King then for Keith Marrows. And this is the last race at Newmarket and the last case from you for Newbury, Ed Nicholson.
Yeah, we're top price, industry top price, every horse from 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday for this race. I'm sure it used to open the card here, this race. It's always been a good race, as we said. I remember talking about this on the podcast for the last 2 years, and I've gone with a Aidan O'Brien horse in the last 2 years, Shanti, who came third 2 years ago, and Genealogy, who came eighth, I think, or something like that last year. He has got a good record in this race. He won it in 2023 with Bertanini. And Port of Spain's still in the Derby. He's 112 for the Derby. He's 33 for the Irish Derby. Ran in a Group 1 last time. Wears cheap pieces for the first time. So I wouldn't put anyone off Port of Spain. Hannan is 0 from 23 in this race. And I did look at that horse, that Keith. It's not a race that they normally, you don't normally identify kind of a horse for their stable in. And the absolute opposite is Roger Varian, who won it last year and has won this race twice from just seven runners and has had a third and a fourth in this race as well. And Al Azed is a really interesting contender. He's got the experience because he's had four all-weather runs and he's had three on the turf, but he's suddenly found his form. Now, Roger Varian's got plenty of improving three-year-olds in his stable. I'd imagine he's probably got more of those than any other kind of types of horses. Therefore, it's not surprising he does well in this race. But also, because of that, I think this horse has probably gone up the pecking order over the last few weeks, having won his maiden at Southall in April and then won off 85 at Doncaster on good to firm ground recently. I think he's still got a lot of more improvement to come. He seemed to run like a horse that suddenly just found the way to run and win, even though he's had seven runs. So he's got experience. He's only had three runs on turf. He's shown his best form last time out, which is the key when I'm looking at having a bet. And the stable target the race. Not the best price in the world, but around about 5 or 6 to 1. I thought it was very much worth an interest in this race. And he's certainly one of my better selections for the week.
Okay, ours then for the Varian team, for Ed Nicholson, and remember, top price from Unibet on Saturday as well. Again, terms and conditions can be found on their website. And we know Newbury is the feature this weekend, so we will give you a rapid preview of the free race on ITV from Newmarket shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious Edge.
Welcome back to the second part of this week's racing postcast. Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Liam Head and Unibet's Ed Nicholson spinning you through the ITV action this weekend. Like I said, we're going to do a rapid preview of the Newmarket races. It's lower class racing here. We've got class four and class three handicaps to get into. And the first of which is the 142, which is a handicap over a mile. And as I said, Keith Melrose, this race here, all the racing there, as competitive as ever. Who have you picked out in the 142?
In the 142, I think Twisting Physics, when he ran at Newbury, was the eye catcher the whole season so far. When he ran there, just thought he was a winner in waiting, and probably, you know, he's been spotted well enough, but I think he very much deserves to be favourite, and he should get it done. This is a much easier race than the one he was sixth in, and absolutely luckless in finishing sixth, beating three lengths. Could have won it. So yeah, Twisting Physics.
Yeah, we'll get to Ed Nicholson in a minute, but Twisting Physics, Jamie Spencer in those Victory Hay colours, well supported on the Unibet website. It seems the trades have taken plenty of money already. Liam Head, who for you?
Yeah, Twisting Physics for me again. I was really impressed with what he did that day at Newbury without winning. I think this sort of going back to a mile will help him. He obviously won over a mile, albeit on the old weather at Southall a few years ago, but I just think that performance at Newbury was close to a career best, and I notice he has been sort of entered when and withdrawn for a couple of races, one at Newmarket recently, so he's obviously primed and ready to go, and I think he can be a big horse for the yard this season.
Okay. If you're playing Racing Postcast Bingo, then you know the line that's coming next, but Ed Nicholson, is this going to be this week's hat-trick horse?
Yeah, I think so. He looks likely to be favourite, well-backed favourite, has been well-supported with us at Unibet in the early skirmishes. And, you know, the five-year-old with very little miles on the clock and put in an eye-catching run last time. Was it Linwood who won for the same connections at Newbury not long ago, landing my nap actually that day? And I think Twisting Physics is going to do the business with Jamie Spencer on board. So quite simple, really. Three selections for Twisting Physics. We thought it might be a competitive race because we're going money back second or third in this race, our flagship offer. But I think it's all going to be about Twisting Physics.
Okay, Twisting Physics then, the hat-trick horse for this week. There we go. Now we move on to the 250, the 7 furlong handicap. There's the class 3 event. Golden Redemption's currently topping the market at 4-1. 40 is on 11-2. Son 7-1. Silver Ghost 8-1. Shah, Bonnie Benuto 10-1. And bigger about the rest. Liam Head, it's a little bit more competitive here. A class 3 handicap, but who are you with?
Golden Redemption, you know, one of the market leaders in this one, again, has been progressing really nicely for the Balding team. He's ran twice this season and sort of progressed with each run. Interestingly, two of his best three performances on ratings has come at Newmarket. So I just think he relishes this track. And yeah, I'd expect him to be right up there come the finish.
Okay, Golden Redemption for Liam. For you, Keith?
No, this race is the one race that stumped me this week.
No worries at all. Look, we've got 8 races on ITV this weekend. You do not have to have a bet in every single race. It's well worth leaving some of these races out. And these are very tricky handicaps, it has to be said. How tricky did you find it, Ed?
Well, I think it's absolute bananas, this race. It's very difficult to work out, but those of you that were watching Newmarket a few weeks ago would have seen Billy Joe go right across Golden Redemption, and ITV spent about 3.5 hours discussing whether there was going to be a revised result, and we had the stewards' inquiry. It was never going to be changed, but and I think to be fair to the ITV presenters, they did say that was the case. But Golden Redemption, I think Sylvester D'Souza was riding him that day, and he kind of pulled as if he was going to be, you know, as if he's taken over the rails, and he made as much as he possibly could. But he was never going to win. He came second. But the horse that came third was Silver Ghost. And so if you watch the race, you'd probably think the Golden Redemption would have finished nearer the winner and further away from the third, Silver Ghost. But if you're actually looking at weights and measures for that race, Silver Ghost only finished half a length behind Golden Redemption, yet he's been put down a pound and Golden Redemption has been put up £2 for that win. So Silver Ghost has actually got a very good chance with the weights and measures here. And I just have to back him at double the odds of the favourite Golden Redemption. So you're getting 10s, 8s on Silver Ghost, 7 mm-hmm. or 2, 4s on Golden Redemption. So I will be with Silver Ghost. The eye would suggest that Golden Redemption could have finished further ahead of Silver Ghost, but the actual weights and measures of the result in the book suggest that he's got a very good chance at the weight reversal. So I know Silver Ghost was Francis that day as well, and I think they like running him at Newmarket from Emma Lavelle's stable, who has had a few flat winners of late.
Okay. Yeah, Silver Ghost, yeah, an 8-1 shot currently for Ed. And the final race that we look at here on the podcast is the 3:27. This is a class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. And this here, probably one of my new favourite horse names, is 60 G's Baby is 9-2. Miraculous is also 9-2. Tabby is 5-1. Expert Agent 6-1. Arantis Nascimento is 9-1. I need to know what that means. Dashing Dick 11-1. Rebel Path 11-1. And looking at bigger, the rest of the field. How about this one, Keith? Is there a bet for you in here?
Well, Arantis Nascimento is actually Mustapelli's name.
Ah.
Edson Arantes de Nascimento. So I should have to do with that
on the podcast. You get more knowledge than anywhere.
But no, I liked 60 G's Baby for this race. He's been on my radar for a wee while. I thought he'd run, he's second in a much better race than this last back end, and caught my eye on his reappearance at Doncaster. He was easily the best of the wrong side that day. Hasn't done it since in two starts, but the first of those was at Ripon. It was his first run at Ripon, and you can forgive any horse hating that track. It's mm-hmm. a real sort of specialist's place. Just been waiting for him to turn up in the right sort of race. He's run well here before. He's on a really good mark now, actually. And obviously, Billy Loughnan's agents agreed because he's got him up on the horse.
Yeah.
This looks like it might be his day.
Okay, his day. 60 G's, baby. Liam, who for you?
I think Tabby's got a good chance for James Tate in this race, actually. Made a bright start for the yard, finished a close second on the yard debut on the all-weather at Wolverhampton before going better next time out. Obviously, stepping onto the turf for the first time does leave you with questions to be answered, but I think if she can sort of make a good transition to this, then together with the fact that 6 furlongs looks the optimum trip for her. I think she can go well. It's also worth noting that she's got a very strong pedigree. She's closely related to, I think, 5 winners. So I think she can go well on her first turf start.
Okay, Tabby, the final selection on the podcast for Liam Head. And spoiler alert, Ed Nixon is very sweet and won in the 3:27 of all races to be sweet on this weekend. This is the one, Ed.
Yeah, Sam, I'm really disappointed, though. When I told you this was the horse I fancied most, first of all, there was a sharp intake of breath from your end, thinking I'm going to be tipping a horse that I fancy the most and probably the worst race on ITV. But secondly, I thought I'd got one at a price because I did it without seeing any prices. And I've just found out that my selection is 9-2 favourite.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit annoyed because I thought it would be about 10s or 8s or something like that. But I'm going to go for Miraculous, who I know very well. Won at Chester, actually set the course record at Chester for 6 furlongs last year. Still has it. Likes fast ground, which will be obviously on the far side of good if it's even good. A slightly different course to Chester, and he has run well at Chester a couple of times, so that is a slight worry. But in his last performance at Chester last week, he was drawn 8 and missed a break, got across to the rails, one off the rails, and had no luck in running. Under tender handling, not the jockey's fault, he had nowhere to go. He didn't finish that far behind in 5th. I think he was 2.5 lengths behind in 5th to Rosenper, who'd set very fast fractions and just won for the first time over 6 furlongs at Chester. I think Miraculous has got a race in him. He's been dropped a pound. He's at a career low mark of 79. I think he's won off 80 or 81. He's come second off 86. He's only had 7 turf runs. So it's not as if he's kind of going backwards at this stage as a 4-year-old. Used to be with Roger Varian, picked up by Tim Easterby and Ambrose Turnbull. And I think he's a horse that's got potential. As long as the rolling miles suits him, and you've got to be worried that it might not, because it is very different from the turns of Chester, I think he's got a very good record. And you know, you said you like learning things. I'll give you one here. He and his mother both held course records. How about that? Priceless held the course record at Bath until last year, and Miraculous held the track, and he still has, at Chester. So I think Miraculous will win, but I'm just disappointed at the price. I have to admit, 9-2 is half the price I thought it'd be.
That course record at Bath must have been when the ground used to be hard there, I'm sure. Right, so there we go. Miraculous is a strong bet for Ed Nicholson. Tabby for Liam Hedden. 60 G's, baby, for Keith Melrose. That's it for the ITV selections. We'll get the best bets after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Here we are then, the final part of this week's racing postcast, here for the best bets of Keith Melrose, Liam Head and Ed Nicholson. Right, let's see, who do we start with? We'll start with you, Liam Head. Who's the best bet this Saturday?
I think Allaire in the 2 o'clock at Newbury for Andrew Balding. She's ran twice in her career, finished second both occasions, but she ran into two smart rivals in I'm the One and Felicitas, the second of which who franked the form by running a cracker in the Mustadora. So I think there's a lot more to come for this filly, and I think she can go well at a good price.
Okay, Allaire in the 2 o'clock Newbury for Liam Head. I'll stay at Newbury then. I'm going to go in the Lock Engine. We were plenty talking about on this show about the line in winter. I think this could be his day for sure. It was between him and Sarlan, who have form tied together from the Moulin, but I do think Aidan O'Brien's out to win this race early on in the season, and with the pacemaker Mississippi River, it's going to be lined up at around 11-2 for the line in winter to take out the Group 1 this Saturday. Keith Melrose, we're moving to Newmarket.
Yes, you know, it's a week where, to be honest, there's no max bets for me. We've talked about Lion Winter, who I fancy a lot, and the horse in the Carnarvon, who I fancy a lot, but I'll take one for the team. The team bet today was Twisting Physics, horse at Newmarket in the 142, who I really fancied, so I'll put him up.
Okay, Twisting Physics, the hat-trick horse from this week, for those who have been watching the show, and Ed Nicholson, you're finishing us off with your best bet.
Well, with such a good card at Newbury, it's absolute bananas that I'm going for a handicap at Newmarket for my nap. But I really like the way Miraculous ran at Chester, just beaten 2.5 lengths into fifth place, drawn 8 that day, didn't have any luck in running, is on a career low mark, so only has 7 turf runs. He's exactly the kind of horse to win a race like this, the 3.27 at Newmarket, Miraculous.
Miraculous in the 3.27 for Ed Nicholson. There you go, on screen you can see all of our best bets. You can screenshot those, and hopefully we'll be landing some nice winners on Saturday. Big thanks to our panel as always, Keith Melrose, Liam Head and Ed Nicholson. Next weekend I think we've got Haydock for the Temple Stakes, and we're at York as well for the Bronte Cup Filly Stakes. I'm actually heading to York on a stag do next Saturday, so I'm hoping the team can find some winners on Thursday with me next week, so looking forward to that. But like I say, big thanks to the guys, big thanks to the viewers and listeners. Do like, comment, share and subscribe, and do gamble responsibly. We'll see you next week.